This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, so next 4 weeks, we are going to talk about Jesus. Amen. It's Christmas season. And some people call it the Advent season, the time of the birth of Christ. And so I want to transition. We're still going to finish Romans. We'll finish in January and February. But I'd like for us to take a moment in the next 4 weeks, talk about why did Jesus come, the reason he came. And so today we're going to talk about that one of the reasons he came is to do the will of the Father. And so today's message is to do the will of the Father. Next week we'll talk about he came to give us life and that life abundantly. And then on December 15th, he came to save the world. And then the last week before Christmas, we're going to talk about he came to bear witness to the truth. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that whatever is being said today will bring you the greatest glory, will point to you. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Lord, help us not to come here with such so much stuff on our minds and our hearts that not because we purposefully don't want to hear what the Spirit says, but Lord, we have occupied our hearts and minds with stuff that there's no room for the Spirit to speak into our hearts. So I pray, God, that we would be open to what the Spirit is saying. Lord, I pray also that we would never allow pride to be a barrier to what you want to do in our hearts. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 1, I want to read quickly and focus on verse 19. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near a sheep's gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, in which surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people, and I'm reading out of the NLT, so there might be some words that you might not be accustomed to, but I'm going to read it NLT. Here are a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years, I'm reading from the NLT. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid person replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place, it was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and the law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk?" And the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning. Something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. In verse 16, so Jesus, because of Jesus, was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And verse 19 is our key verse for today. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." A friend of mine came here years ago, John Palmer, and he talked about what is a disciple, and a disciple is someone who does what the rabbi does. You know, someone who's sitting in the class and there's a rabbi teaching, and so a disciple of that rabbi does what the disciple does what the rabbi does. He follows him, lives with him, and does everything he says and teaches them. And so Jesus is basically saying the same thing. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And so a disciple, a follower of Jesus, is someone who does what the Father does or the rabbi does. And so the reason Jesus, one of the reasons Jesus was born is to make sure that we understood that he came to do the Father's will, not his own thing, but his thing. You know, the passage where, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Even though they did great things, they were doing it outside the will of the Father. The word iniquity is not just, doesn't mean sin, it means doers of your own thing. You're being rebellious. And you can be rebellious doing good things, maybe in the ways that you're trying to attract attention. And it's so hard to do that today, isn't it? It's so easy to do that, to do something for the Lord and let everybody know it. You know, so it's a fine line. So you got to be very, very careful that we're not stealing the spotlight from Jesus. But Jesus says, I am doing what the Father tells me to do. And my role on earth is to do the will of the Father. And so he clarifies his relationship with the Father as one, and there's a, it makes it very clear that he and the Father are united, and he walks in obedience, submission. So he's not being, doing his own thing, but submitted to the will of God. So Jesus is dependent on the Father while he's here on earth. And this is an emphasis that he makes. Now, Philippians, the Apostle Paul tells us in chapter 2, verse 6, I'll read verse 5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. So when you think of why he was born, remember that he came to do the will of the Father. What's the lesson for us here at Mosaic Church? Well, one of my family's favorite, my wife's favorite verse in our family is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So if we are disciples of Jesus, which I pray that we all are, I pray that we're not just followers. I used to have this graphic, and maybe I'll show it sometime. You know, maybe in your beginning of your journey with Jesus, you're just a follower. You're just kind of, but a discipler is now drawing even closer to Jesus. He wants to be with Jesus, is communicating with Jesus, is doing the things that Jesus did. And so I pray that you are not in the, if especially if you've been in your journey with Jesus for a while, that you are now coming to a point where you are a follower, a disciple of Jesus. You're not just following from a distance, but you're there in his presence, hearing what he says and doing what he says. And so this is important because Jesus is going to make this point over and over again that he's only doing what the Father is telling him to do. He's not freelancing. You know, he's not doing his own thing. And the thing that we could learn this Christmas season is to submit ourselves to Jesus, do what he did, and not freelance, and not, you know, do the things that we think, but just hearing the Lord. We're going to talk about that in a second. So Jesus is in constant communion with the Father to discern the will. What's God's plan for Jesus? So how are we to respond? I think that one of the things that we can respond, and you're one of the big steps, I believe, and not for my own benefit, but for our benefit, is that we commune together as a community. We come together as a church. We encourage one another. We correct one another. You know, I think Ross is a phenomenal leader, and he And he does this. There's not a correction, but he's asking, hey, I haven't seen you in a few weeks. Where have you been? You know, hey, we missed you. And so that, to me, is a way of leading people, you know, hey, make sure you don't get too far from the fold that God has placed you in. Through prayer, we stay connected through prayer and the word and reading his word and the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit. And so that's where you get to hear what the plan is for your life. It's his plan, and God will reveal his plan to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you on the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We live in a way that no one will stumble because of us and no one will find fault. And Paul's talking to the Corinthian church. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. How do you become a true minister of God? Is when you're doing what the rabbi does. He says here in verse 3, we live in a way that no one will stumble because of us. How could you lead a life that's not going to cause people to stumble is you draw close to the rabbi. You listen to him. I think of this past Thanksgiving season. I'm just thinking of Brian and Cecile. There she is, Brian and Cecile. Had people from all over the world at her house for Thanksgiving. And I saw the pictures, and you're not asking me to do this. I saw the pictures, and I thought, she's doing what the Father is asking her to do, to love the foreigner, the stranger, the alien. And those are scriptural terms, so don't try to put today's terms in them. And so love, she sees what the Father does. She's read what Jesus does. And then she does what the rabbi does. Let me encourage you all to do that. Thanksgiving is a phenomenal time to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Think of someone who had nowhere to go, and I pray that you would hear what the Spirit is saying, and then you bring them to that table of fellowship. Christmas is coming. I pray that you're praying. I'm praying that you're leaving room for the Holy Spirit to guide you, and you could be saying, and you could be asking, Lord, what would you do? Let me do the same thing. And so Jesus came. Why was he born? To do the will of the Father. There's another passage here. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's a long one, but I'll shoot down to verse 14. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are what? The temple of the living God, the Holy Ghost. And God said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that's one way is you know, we did communion, and the reason we do communion is because we want to walk in obedience. The scripture tells us to. But at the same time, it's a place that's kind of a harsh reminder. Take things seriously. Challenge our hearts. Inspect our hearts. Inspect our motives so that we can walk in the will of and do the will of the Father like Jesus did. Obedience to the Father. Whatever the Father, the Son also does. Jesus obeyed fully. John chapter 6, 38. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, Those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, and not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all these who has given me, but that I should raise him up at the last day. It is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. So the will of doing the will of the Father was one of the reasons Jesus came to earth and why we're going to celebrate his birth in a few weeks. A disciple is someone who aligns their life with God and his purpose. You know, one of my favorite quotes is I used to ask the Lord, what is my plan? What do you want me to do? And I learned through discipleship and a friend and through reading, it's not my plan, it's his plan. He's giving me his blueprint. I'm not handing him my blueprint. I'm not asking him to bless and put the stamp of approval on my blueprint plans. I'm asking the Lord, what role do I have? What kind of person do you want me to be? Fulfilling your blueprint architectural plans for my life. I want his Holy Spirit to stamp that approval of me having a role of doing his job, his plans. So Jesus sets the example of he came to earth to do the will of the Father. And the Lord is calling us to live a life, daily life of obedience, loving others, praying for others, inviting people to your home, pursuing holiness to honor Jesus, reading scripture, praying. But I found that being obedient requires sacrifice and trust in God's plan. And that's usually the big pothole in our lives, is trusting God and his plans, trusting God's plan for our life. We're going to not do our own thing. We're not going to do our own thing because we're going to follow Jesus, and Jesus set the example. He's not doing his own thing, but he's doing the will and the plan of the Father. So obedience requires sacrifice. We have to trust in God's plan. My story is I got saved as a high school senior, but I was just really, that was more like hellfire insurance, but I didn't want to bend my knee to Jesus. I didn't trust his plan. I absolutely felt called into ministry at 18, 19 years of age, but I didn't trust it, his plan. Like, why would I want to go into ministry? You know, I kept thinking to myself, I've already lived 18, 19 years of poverty. Why would I want to continue that? So I had my own plan. And so that's when I went off to Western Carolina and lived this life of disobedience in a lot of ways, like Jonah. But obedience requires sacrifice and trusting God's plan, trusting God's character. We talked about that, you know, being thankful, about trusting in his character. And Jesus came to do the will of the Father, the plan of the Father, and Jesus trusted the plan. We have a couple of football coaches here, and I imagine you guys have a plan before you play an opponent. And I imagine that, you know, I'm not a football coach, but I imagine it's like, trust the plan. We've come up with a strategic plan. We recognize who our opponents are. We can see where their weaknesses are, and you make a plan. You have a game plan. And I'm not sure if we had a game plan last night, but good coaches have a game plan based on, you know, your capacity. But you have to trust it, right? You have to trust the system and what the players are. You have to buy into it. I keep hearing Coach Saban saying all that. So I got to get the kids to buy into the system, buy into it. And for us, we have to buy into and trusting the Lord. So my immediate entry into the God's family was a lot of mistrust. Yes, I trusted him to save my soul, but I didn't trust him enough that I wanted to live out his plan for my life. And I think this is where we run into barriers in walking in obedience. But Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And as followers of Jesus, we got to do what the rabbi does. So we have to trust God and his plan. And Jesus came to do the plan of the Father. He trusted the plan. He didn't do his own plan. Abraham obeyed God in offering Isaac, just trusted the Lord. And we have to have confidence in God's work. Jesus trusted the Father's power to bring the results of his plan. There was times of healing, and there was times of doing the ministry, but there was always times of stepping away, and he just trusted the God's plan and trusted in the Father's plan and his power. Romans 12 says this, and we're going to get there probably in early February. And it says this in verse 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. So we have to hand over our bodies, our flesh, our will. I plead with you, Paul says. I plead to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know what God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't copy. Remember, we talked about David and the cart and, you know, taking the Ark of the Covenant and putting it on a cart, you know, and with wheels and oxen. That's not God's plan. My assumption is, by calculations, in the previous chapter in 1 Samuel, when the Eli and his kids lost the ark, the enemy, Philistines, had taken it. They didn't know what to do with it, so they put it on a cart. Makes sense. And then it was practical. It was very practical. Of course you want to put this heavy thing on a cart and let oxen take it. But it was not part of God's plan. And the only reason I surmise this is because when David sent the ark, when his friend died, sent it away. But when he brought it back correctly with men carrying the ark the way the scripture told him to. God's plan. And so it's very important for us, because Jesus is living here. The reason he was born is to do the will of the Father. And we are his disciples. We are to do what the rabbi does. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Jesus walked by faith. Have you ever walked by faith, anybody? You can just raise your hand. It's tough, isn't it? Now, most people would say walking by faith is good. Anybody think that? Just raise your hand if you think walking by faith is good. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but the other part is, but are you personally going to do it? You know, so we live in a world where we talk about living by faith, but we do everything we can not to ever live by faith. You know, to take a risk for the kingdom. Walking by faith and not by sight sounds really good, and we all can clap and say amen. But a lot of times it's like going to the movies. It's great for them. You know, I was reminded, a friend of mine talked about Star Wars. I'm not a big Star Wars fan. But he talked about this moment when Luke was about to blow up the big star, the Death Star. And all of a sudden, this hologram or this spirit came to him and says, you know, basically, don't trust your sight. Don't trust the telescope that you can see the vulnerable Death Star. And he says, use the force, Luke, use the force. You guys, anybody remember that? Yeah. Sounds really nice. I'm just imagining a bunch of boomer friends of mine thought, you know, what they say, it looks cool, Like, man, that's awesome to have that kind of trust, to not trust the telescope, not trust the computer readout, but to just go by a feeling, you know, just trust the force. Some of my boomer friends, I imagine, wouldn't live like that. They wouldn't turn off their lights at night and trust the force to get them home. They wouldn't do it. And so that's why we say living by faith sounds really good, but it's really hard, isn't it? It's really hard. And so Jesus walked by faith, and we are his disciples, and we have to do what the rabbi does. So is living by faith doable? And I got five more minutes before Robin sends the kids up. And so is it doable? Is it worth doing? It's easy to read stories about people walking by faith, but it's very difficult to place your life where you're gonna walk by faith. You might hear inspirational stories or watch great movies about, you know, what it might be you're thinking that walk by faith is. But I wanna tell you that walking by faith is not unintelligent. Walk by faith is someone who knows God and trusts him. And that's smart. I know some friends that give, and I'm, you know, if you know our church and if you're new to our church, we never talk about money. So it's never our motive. Matter of fact, last week we even forgot to take the offering. And that's very common here. So we don't make money the focus of our gathering. We should make it more than we do. The Lord's been gracious to us. But walking by faith, I know someone who literally could use the money for other things in his life, in his family's life, but they walk by faith and they give to the Lord. They just trust in his character and they trust in his plan. That's hard, isn't it? You guys know my story early on in my marriage. We believed in supporting the ministry with our finances, but we had a hard time trusting the plan. We didn't trust the plan. We trusted our own plan, which our own plan was leading us into bankruptcy. It wasn't working. But it's not easy. But I think part of the reason it's not easy is that we have a trust issue with God and his character and his plan. So it's not trying to force yourself to believe something. It's really trusting in God's plan, trusting in who he is. So if you want to walk by faith, the first thing I would encourage us to do is to get on our knees and begin to ask the Lord, give me opportunities to trust you more, to walk by faith. Let me trust you more. So Jesus comes to earth. He's going to be born in, you know, a few weeks. We're going to celebrate that. But he comes to do the will of the Father, to do his plan, not his own plan, to hear what the Father says, and then he does it. He doesn't do his own thing. And he's going to walk in a lot of ways by faith, because can you imagine, you know, Jesus, your disciples that you have, like, is this the plan? Is this really the plan? This is how we're going to save the world? Is this how we're going to bring back creation back to you? But you have to trust Jesus. You have to trust God and his plan. So it's not unintelligent. It's really an issue and a challenge of trusting God and his plans, knowing who he is. So a Christian person that walks by faith does that in confidence in who God is. I'd like to, you know, toot someone else's horn, but I don't want to embarrass them. But, you know, walking in ministry as a missionary is not easy, especially if you have a degree. One of our biggest challenges with our minority missionaries is that they work so hard to get that degree, whatever degree it is, engineering, but then to feel the Lord calling them into missions where they have to ask people for support. And, but that's tough. His family members are like, what'd you go to college for? And so sadly, a lot of our minority missionaries in Chi Alpha, almost all of them are underfunded. Almost all of them. But they're walking in obedience and trusting God's plan. And God will provide for them, and he has provided for them. But it's not easy. It's not blind faith. It's not just, you know, trust the force. It's really trusting in God and being confident in his plan and his word. I'm almost done. Walking by faith, as Jesus did, sounds like something you can't afford to do. But in reality is, if we want to fulfill God's plan, we can't afford not to do it. As we zoom out of life and look at the larger context, as we walk by faith, not sight, we see what God sees. We don't see what our own natural eyes could see. I remember one of my first days walking on campus, I was so overwhelmed. I was like, what am I gonna do here? And you just have to trust the Lord and his plan. Trust the Lord and his plan, because he sees the bigger picture. It's hard for me to see from this angle. You know, I don't know if they still have it, but I imagine they have at the state, you know, the practice field, the coach would go really high up to see the big picture. You know, I see players always with their iPads looking at the camera from an angle so they can make, and so we have to trust God in his perspective. So it's trusting him. Walking by faith is trusting him. So this Christmas season, I just want you to know that Jesus came, not just so we can get presents under a tree, but he came so that he could do the will of the Father. And as followers of Jesus who are disciples, we do what the rabbi does. So this Christmas season, this Advent season, as we come to the birth of Christ, I want to challenge us this morning to walk in a way that we want to do the will of the Father in your life, in our lives. Does that make sense? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Lord, help us to fix our eyes past what our eyes see. Lord, help us to do the will of the Father. Lord, help us not to just say walking by faith is awesome, but Lord, help us to begin to walk in a way that would replicate what you did. Because there's a big picture going on here that Jesus, you came to seek and save that which is lost. Lord, so thank you. Give us eternal perspective in doing the will of the Father. Lord, help us to gain that trust of your character. Speak to us, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that we know that walking by faith doesn't mean we'll have a smooth path, a smooth road, because we know even Jesus' path was not smooth. It was the crucifying of the flesh. But Lord, help us never to lose heart. Because Lord, even though maybe our bodies might be afflicted, we know that we are inwardly being renewed day by day by your Spirit. So Lord, help us to do the will of the Father as Jesus did the will of the Father. Every head closed, eyes closed, head bowed, eyes closed. And I'm already raising my hands. You say, Pastor Mario, I need prayer to just continue to walk in a way that does the will of the Father. If that's you, just yes, amen. Lord, let's just go ahead and pray again. Lord, I pray, God, for all of us, Lord, to remember why you were born, and one big reason is to do the will of the Father. And Lord, we call you Savior. Lord, help us to live out calling you Lord, and that we walk in obedience and to do the will of the Father. to live in a way that brings you the greatest glory, not to do anything of those things that would bring confusion and throw us off your plan. Lord, help us to live that life, that holy life that you called us. And Lord, help us to see people like you see people. Lord, help us as a church to see those who are unclothed. Lord, help us as a church to see and how we can clothe them, or those who are imprisoned, whether it's a jail or imprisoned in other ways. Lord, help us to visit them, those who might be hungry, whether it be food or for fellowship or friendship. Lord, I pray, God, that we would be your agents of grace. Help us to do what the Father did, our Savior did, as we call ourselves disciples. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. God's good. Amen. I pray that you have a great week and that you are able to flesh out what the Lord has spoken to you this morning. May the Lord be with you. He is risen. And God bless you. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.